Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about two different smartphones, maybe even three. One of them is called the Honor 9N. It's a budget smartphone from the sub-brand of the Chinese smartphone company Huawei. And the other phone we are going to be talking about is BlackBerry Evolve 10. There's another phone called BlackBerry Evolve, which is cheaper, which also launched on the same day as the Evolve 10, which is written as Evolve X. So to talk about all of these exciting phones, we have our reviewer, that's Shobhit Verma.
Hi guys.
Yeah, Shobhit is our resident Android expert and review genius, and also a person in Delhi who attends all sorts of smartphone events. So he's reviewed the Honor 9N, so we'll be speaking in depth about that phone. And towards the end of the podcast, we'll be talking about the two BlackBerry smartphones, which were launched on the day of this recording, which is the 2nd of August 2018. And we've spent Shobhit has spent a brief time with these two smartphones, so he will be giving you the lowdown on them. So first up, Honor 9N. So Shobhit, this Honor 9N is priced at 12,000 rupees, 11,999 to be exact. Runs Android 8.0 Oreo with whatever custom emotion UI, EMUI.
EMUI, yeah.
Yeah, that Honor specializes in. And it competes with a bunch of really exciting phones in the budget segment. So one of them is the Asus Zenfone Max Pro M1. Another one is the Oppo Realme 1. And then there's also the Moto G6, right? So
the multiple variants of the Moto G6.
Yeah, so does this phone, does it stand out in the crowd, or is it sort of lost in the noise?
Yeah, so that's quite a complicated question, actually, because the Honor 9N has three variants. And they straddle quite a extensive price category. So the base variant, which has 3GB of RAM and 32GB of storage, is priced at 11,999. And that is striking value for money. But the next variant has 4GB of RAM and 64GB of storage, which costs 13,999, and that's also fine. But the third variant, I cannot wrap my head around this pricing, and a lot of people that I've talked to, a lot of people in the industry, have also been quite gobsmacked by this. This variant features 4GB of RAM, the same amount of RAM as the previous variant, but 128GB of storage, and it's priced at 17,999. Now, considering the fact that this phone has micro SD card support, and you know, Android nowadays allows you to move apps to SD card, why on earth will you spend so much more money, 4,000 rupees more, for just 64GB more storage? I mean, there is no reason for anyone to buy the 128GB storage variant. And when we quizzed Honor regarding this, they said that the reason we price the higher variants more than the lower variants is to recover costs. That we subsidize the lower variants and we price higher variants at a level which is more than they should be in order to recover costs. So if you guys have the Honor 9N in your agenda, you should totally avoid the third variant, which is priced outrageously. Now, this answers your question. The top variant of the Honor 9N is absolutely not value for money and should never ever be considered. But the other two variants are worth considering. Why? Because the phone looks striking. In this day and age where budget phones are all made out of metal and all look so identical. Look at the Asus Zenfone Max Pro M1 and the Xiaomi Redmi Note 5 Pro. They look quite identical. The 9N stands out. It's quite a compact smartphone thanks to the fact that it has a notch, which we will get into in a while. And it has a glass back, and it's a very glossy finish at the back, which might deter some people who like subtle phones. But all in all, the phone looks quite striking and looks quite similar to the Honor 10 and the OnePlus 6, which are glass-backed phones that cost quite a lot of money. Plus, the display on the phone is also very nice. Honor always does a great job with the displays, and this time also they have not let us down. It has punchy colors, it's bright, the viewing angles are amazing. For a budget phone, that is.
If I may just butt in for a bit, Honor is the brand owned by Huawei, as I mentioned earlier. And Huawei's Nova 3, which we reviewed, and the review actually got published just today. So the Nova 3 also has some similar design characteristics as the Honor 9N. Now, the back you mentioned, it has a really nice glossy finish. And, you know, you see the fingerprint sensor at the back on the Honor 9N. And you know, the color doesn't exactly gel with the rest of the back panel. You know, it's slightly, there's a matte.
It's slightly darker.
Yeah, it's darker, and also the finish is slightly different on just that one part of the phone. The same, exact same thing I've seen in the Huawei Nova 3, and that's priced at 35,000, and it looks really striking with that purple color. Like, you know, it's a gradient of like dark purple and like sort of magenta at the top, and it looks really striking. And the same back panel design we're seeing in this Honor brand. And as you mentioned, like, it's a very, very cheap phone comparatively. You know, it's not 30,000, it's just 12,000. And at that price, you get a striking looking phone. It's really nice to see. Something we also noticed with the Oppo Realme 1, which has that diamond cut design pattern, right?
In fact, this actually looks quite more premium than the Realme 1, because this phone actually looks a little, it's more subtle, it's more classy. While the Realme 1 goes a little a step too much with its creases and, you know, its diamond cut pattern, which is sure to deter a lot of people. And now that observation that you made, that the 9N looks a lot like the Nova, that's actually quite a common factor in Huawei and Honor's lineup. It's not just these two phones, the 9 Lite, the 9N, the Honor Play, that, you know, is about to be launched, and, you know, we will be out with a review as soon as the phone is launched. And the Nova, they all look quite similar, as well as the Honor 10. So it's nice that this brand is building a design characteristic that is common across the range. However, what is not so nice about this phone is, which I forgot to mention, is that the glass back is nice, but the edges, sides are made of plastic, while all the other competitors have an aluminium frame. So the phone kind of, it's built well. Don't mistake me for that. It's built well. The build quality is good, but you don't get the same feeling of cold aluminium in your hand on the sides, which, you know, kind of deters from that premium feeling. However, top marks to Honor for, you know, building a high quality plastic phone. We have seen in the past that plastic is not necessarily a bad thing. Lumia has shown that in the past. So this combination of plastic and glass is the build quality is very nice. However, do take this into notice that the sides are made of plastic, not aluminium.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, if you look at it, this is a budget phone, and there have to be some compromises, right? Some corners have to be cut. So this is, you know, I guess one of them. And I suppose at this price point, it's not exactly a bad thing to have, as you said earlier. But one thing that I noticed, speaking of, you know, corners being cut, while this phone does have a notch, the display is not exactly edge to edge, is it? Like, I see quite a prominent
border. Not at
border.
All, actually.
Yeah. So
the border is quite prominent, and the chin, the border is quite prominent, and the chin is quite significant. So,
yeah.
I mean, to be very frank, the 9N is an iterative update of the 9 Lite, which launched last year. The phones are almost similar when it comes to the design, and the hardware is also almost similar. Now, when it comes to personal preference, I think the 9 Lite looks better than this, because it doesn't have a notch. Now, in this phone, they've managed... Why did they go with the notches? Because they've managed to cram a bigger display, a slightly bigger display. However, in my opinion, that compromise is not worth it, because the front panel doesn't look as clean. It looks disjointed. Well, the 9 Lite looked much more clean on the front. Like, the bottom bezel is not in sync with the top bezel. And, you know, they have decided to put a black border on all color variants in the 9N. While the 9 Lite, the front fascia of the phone was color matched with the rest of the phone, which looked amazing. Now, because they've put a black border, this actually makes the bezels even more pronounced.
Yeah. So now, you know, now that you've said it, I actually like find this quite I mean, bad to look at, honestly. Like, just having a blue sort of a tint on the side, because, you know, the edges of the phone are blue, the one that we reviewed, and then having a black border on that, I don't think that color combination is really that great. If it were,
if you look at the images of the 9 Lite, and you can include some of them, Pranay, in the notes, the 9 Lite, the color just merges with the display, and it looks, in my opinion, it looks better than the 9N. Now, the 9N has some amazing color finishes. Kudos to Honor for always bringing up some, you know, interesting color finishes. They have this lavender purple, which is like a mix between, you know, purple and pink, which really stands out. And my favorite color is something called Robin Egg Blue, which has a terrible name, but it's a wonderful shade of green and blue, a mixture of green and blue, which it reminds you of the old Xperia smartphones. If somebody remembers the Xperia XZ3 and XZ2 that came out. No, not the XZ3. The Xperia Z2 and Z3, sorry. Which came out 2-3 years ago. They came out in this green shade, which was like a mixture of blue and green. So that looks like that and looks very premium. That shade has not come out yet. It will come out in the next 2-3 months. And it will be manufactured in India. So for all the people who like their phones to be manufactured in India, this phone is manufactured in India. But I mean, even in that shade, you really, really, you know, that black border really stands out. Why is it there?
Yeah, that's true. So the one thing I noticed here is that, you know, in all this notch madness, the one good thing that seems to have come out is that the earpiece, which is essentially when you keep your phone next to your ear to talk to somebody, it used to be a long horizontal grill type of a thing, right, earlier. But now many of these phones have made it that, you know, just a tiny circle which looks exactly like the front camera, except that there are some, you know, holes in there and there's an actual speaker type thingy in there. So that, I mean, at least in this phone, the Honor 9N, it looks really nice and it's symmetrical also, like it's right next to the front camera. So I like that touch.
To be frank, it looks very nice, and this is not something that I noticed when I published my review. But I've been using this phone on and off for the last 1.5 weeks, and I've realized that that is actually quite irritating, because if you notice, the earpiece is not exactly in the center of the phone. And you have to consciously position the phone in a way that the earpiece, you know, you get sound properly. So it's something that you have to relearn. Like all of the other phones that I use, the earpiece is bang in the middle of the phone. So this aesthetically looks good, but this is not something that you will realize straight away. Even I didn't realize in the one week that I used it to publish the review. But I've started realizing it, that the off-center earpiece is actually quite irritating.
So there you go. Another reason why you should not look at a press shot before buying a phone, you know. Get the actual thing in hand and test it out, and then then make your buying decision, right?
I think now we should talk about the reasons not to buy the Honor 9N. I mean, it looks good and has a great display, but there are many areas where the phone disappoints.
Okay, no problem. So then why don't we first start with some of the things that, you know, really, really annoyed you. So how about the camera?
I think before the camera, I need to discuss one thing that is Honor really needs to address ASAP. And that is the Kirin 659 processor inside the Honor 9N.
Okay.
This processor is getting really old now. And it's present in literally all of Honor's and Huawei's budget lineup. From the Huawei P20 line to Honor 9i to Honor 7C to Honor 9 Lite to Honor 7X. This processor does duty in all of their phones. It needs to be replaced. It can't hold a candle to Qualcomm's new budget chipsets like the 660, the 450, even the 450, the 636 in benchmarks as well as real world usage. We're not talking about, you know, the fact that it gets lower scores in Antutu and Geekbench, and that's the only thing we're basing it on. It does get much lower scores, but even real world usage is now getting quite irritating. This processor now cannot keep up with even day-to-day usage, like using social media apps, which are now very heavy, like Facebook, Twitter. It lags while scrolling via Twitter. It lags while having loads of apps open, tabs open in Chrome, loads of apps open in the background. this processor was great a year ago, but the competition has caught up so much that, and yeah, Honor has newer processors in their lineup in China, but they have not brought them to India yet. And they really need to now, because as I'll just quote a line from a review, with budget smartphones becoming more and more powerful, such slowdowns in day-to-day use are quite disappointing. So, I mean, the 650, 4 GB of RAM, 6 GB of RAM, 3 GB of RAM, it does not matter. RAM cannot compensate for the fact that the processor is getting old in the tooth. So I think that is the biggest issue with the 9N right now. Yeah, and to be fair to Honor, they are working on two processors right now, the Kirin 670 and then 710. Both are said to have the, you know, the neural processing unit from the Kirin 970, or, you know, certain features from that, which we were really impressed with. And this, to those who do not know, the NPU basically enables artificial intelligence features to happen on the phone, so that not on the cloud, so that they are the features, the processing occurs faster and your privacy is maintained. So they are working on these, and they are supposed to be much more powerful. So we, I mean, to be very, because Honor phones, there's a lot to like. They're one of the few manufacturers who are doing something different with design. And, you know, EMUI, as Pranay has always had an issue with me not liking skins which are not stock Android. So let's talk about EMUI, which is one of the few non-stock Android skins which is very feature-loaded.
Yeah, it's clearly and making you very emotional.
So EMUI, so Honor must be credited for doing something right with EMUI. There are some problems with it, like as with all skins, which, you know, is becoming repetitive now, it's cluttered and, you know, there's a lot of bloat installed and it needs simplification. However, EMUI does have useful features like Wi-Fi Plus, which automatically switches between Wi-Fi and mobile data depending on which connection is stronger. Now, I really, really loved this feature, and I'm really surprised no other manufacturer has this. So in my house, there are a lot of places where the Wi-Fi signal is not strong. And, you know, so many times pages just, you know, struggle to load, even simple web pages. And this, the Honor 9N and even the Honor 10 automatically just switch over to 4G and automatically switch back to Wi-Fi when the Wi-Fi signal is strong. So they're tracking the Wi-Fi signal in the background. So this feature I love. Then they also have other features like, you know, their gestures are actually nice. They have a Moto navigation like gesture method, which you can use to navigate the UI, which is not a iPhone 10 clone, unlike a lot of other skins. So their messaging application is also amazing. It filters spam, like, you know, Microsoft SMS organizer. So I think EMUI is doing a very good job with nifty features which are actually useful. So if they really sort out their internals, especially the processor, Honor can go a long way in making good budget phones.
Yeah, true that. But in the review, you do mention that the software is bloated and you don't like that. So
said that it is bloated and cluttered, but it is one of the few Android skins which actually has features which are useful.
Yeah, that Wi-Fi and mobile data switch is like a really useful feature, because, you know, these days we've reached a stage where even if, you know, you are on like a decentish area, like in a decentish area where like the mobile network is all right, you will still probably have a speed that's kind of faster than your like Wi-Fi speed. So, you know, if you have, for example, a nice 4G or an LTE connection, which many people do these days, you probably will have something that's faster than your home broadband connection. Still, no, way too many people who are stuck on like 2 Mbps type connections at home, or, you know, less. And, you know, for a lot of people, like the mobile data, the speed that comes through their phone is much faster than what they get. So it's nice to have that feature. And also with the fact that these days data limits have been relaxed a lot in India, and mobile plans have never been, you know, as cheap, mobile data plans. So that's a really, really nice feature to have. I'd definitely appreciate it.
If I have to wrap up the software, it's a mixed bag, as I said. So it's not that it's a home run. There is a lot of bloat, and Honor's first party applications do add nothing to the equation. I mean, you have Google's photo app, you have Honor's photo app, you have Google's music app, you have Honor's music app. So I have no idea why these Chinese manufacturers keep on making applications which Google already bundles. Why do that? Follow Asus's example. They stripped away all their apps in the Zenfone Max Pro M1. But on the flip side, AMUI does have useful features which I like, and they have been well thought through.
Okay, so you want to get to the cameras?
Yeah, now we get to the camera, which is a bit of a mixed bag again, which is like, as you can see, it's the script with the phone.
Yeah.
A mixed bag and average. So the dual camera at the back takes decent shots in favorable light. The detail is fine. Colors are also quite accurate. However, when the light goes down, the camera struggles a lot. Photos lack detail, they're over sharpened, and a lot of noise creeps in. What really becomes irritating is the autofocus becomes really slow at night. So the processing times are so long that you end up shaking the phone while taking a photo, which does not help in any way. And there's the same issue with the front camera. It captures fine, decent shots in when the light is favorable. You'll have no issues in posting them to social media. I mean, you won't blow them up and frame them on the wall, but for 12,000 rupees, you'll be satisfied with them. But at night, again, a lot of noise creeps in. So it's a bit of a mixed bag.
Okay, cool. So any other thoughts you want to like add before summing up this phone?
Battery life.
Okay, cool.
Mediocre. It's quite okay. Mediocre, and Honor needs to work on their battery life. I have reviewed four Honor phones in the past 2 months. The Honor 7C, the Honor 9N. Before that, I reviewed the Huawei P20 Lite. I mean, that's a Huawei phone, but it's the same thing. And I think the common factor between them is the Kirin 659, which is, you know, just not very power efficient. So you do get like, you will get through the whole day barely, you know, till 8 or 9 p.m. But if you are an intensive user, you might not even make it till then. So in our HD video loop test, the phone lasted just 8 hours and 40 minutes, which is quite a poor score. And, you know, there's no fast charging on board also. The phone takes 2.5 hours to charge fully. And, you know, in 1 hour, the phone just charges around 30 to 35%. So battery life is quite mediocre. It's not pathetic. It's not like you'll be looking for a charger at 6 p.m. But you will get one day at best.
Okay. So overall, I think this phone has a lot of weaknesses and probably is on the weaker side in the budget segment. I would probably say two or three other phones are easily ahead of this in pretty much all aspects. But then, you know.
Yeah, so if I have to sum it up, the Asus Zenfone Max Pro M1 base variant at 10,999 trumps this phone. And now Asus has announced that it will be available via open sale on Flipkart because availability issues were a huge problem for this phone. However, you know, you can't take their word for it, and this phone has been very hard to buy, the Asus Zenfone Max Pro, so take that in mind. And the Honor 9 Lite, which was last year's phone, is for 10,999. And frankly speaking, this phone brings nothing better than the Honor 9 Lite except for a notch. So, and maybe slightly better rear camera. So if you're looking for a great looking phone, you can also look for the Honor 9 Lite. But I have to do justice to this phone and say that, you know, if your requirements, you don't really care that much about the camera, and you are okay with, and you're not a power user, but your preference lies only in wanting a phone that really looks very good and, you know, has a great display, then this is worth considering because it does have a design that stands out. However, do only buy the base variant, please. There are far better options for 15,000 and 18,000. Then you can buy the 6GB variant of the Zenfone Max Pro M1. You can buy the Xiaomi Redmi Note 5 Pro. And these two phones are far superior to this phone.
Yeah, right then.
You can also buy the Realme 1.
Yeah, if you can find it.
If you can find it, yeah.
Yeah, that's the only caveat, right? I mean, Moto G6 is good in terms of availability. But all of these phones, you know, my single biggest complaint is Seriously, guys, just make it available. People, you know, want to buy it, so yeah, don't make it hard for them unnecessarily.
Yeah, I mean, I keep on recommending the Zenfone Max Pro M1 to people, but it's never available, so.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, you can buy it, but in your dreams. So that's always a problem. I think it's time to move on to the other big event of the day. The BlackBerry Evolve and the BlackBerry Evolve 10 or X. So, Shobhit, what do you think of the Evolve 10 first?
Evolve X. So, the folks over at BlackBerry were very, very specific. And they were like, please call it the X, not the 10. And I guess that's because of the iPhone.
Yes, very much so.
So, whenever me or anyone else at the event referred to it as the 10, they like snapped at us.
Mm.
It's the X. It's not the 10.
Yeah, so
I guess they're very worried about that.
Actually, I forgot to ask you before you mentioned like what the phone was like and your first impressions of this phone and its sibling. It's important to make sure that people understand the fact that BlackBerry is not the old like the BlackBerry of old, the Canadian company. I think they sold this phone brand to some other company called Optimus, right?
Optimus Infocom Infracom is quite an old company, actually. I mean, I think it has its roots in the 90s. And it owns this accessory band called MoLife, which a lot of people might have, you know, bought and seen its products in stores. And the company claims it brought the first smartphone to India. I have not confirmed these claims. So, take them with a pinch of salt. So, and this company owns a lot of smartphone retail stores in South India and North India. So, and they have now brought the BlackBerry brand name, and the first phone they launched was the Key 2 a few weeks ago, and now the Evolve and Evolve X. So a quick introduction of both phones before we go and talk about them.
Yeah.
So the Evolve is priced at 24,990. It is powered by the Snapdragon 450 processor, a processor which is found in 10,000 and 15,000 rupee phones. It has 4 GB of RAM and it has 64 GB of storage. And now the Evolve X is priced at 34,990. It is powered by the reasonably better Snapdragon 660 processor and it has 6 GB of RAM and the same 64 GB of storage. Now the cheaper Evolve will go on sale in the end of August, and the Evolve X will go on sale in the middle of September. Now, boring specs are over. Now, let's talk about the phones a little bit because I used them for a little while. Now, we have not tested them in detail, so we can't really comment on the battery life or the performance, but we can just tell you a little bit about our initial impressions about the phone. So both phones have a rubberized plastic back and a very typical, you know, business-like BlackBerry look. I mean, I think they have succeeded on the design front because if they wanted to distinguish themselves from the hordes of smartphones out there, and there's frankly nothing like this out there. So it has that glossy rubberized BlackBerry embossed logo at the back, and you know, glossy black at the front, and the phone looks very official and business like, both of them. And they're very light and nice to hold in the hand. So I think on the design front they've succeeded quite a bit. What I did not like though was both phones feel quite light and they feel quite hollow and insubstantial. So I mean, we'll have to wait and see how the build quality is and whether, you know, if they're actually built quite well, then you know, we might forgive this feeling. But on first impressions, they did not feel solid. Now, the biggest thing about these two phones, as with all BlackBerries, is not really the hardware. So, BlackBerry touts the security and the software features on board. So, there are a ton of them, actually. So, BlackBerry has introduced both phones run Android 8.1 Oreo, with BlackBerry's custom launcher on top. Now, there are a ton of apps and features on top. There's an app called BlackBerry Power Center, which BlackBerry says uses deep learning to analyze app usage and optimize battery settings. The BlackBerry Hub has been given a makeover. Earlier, it used to only handle email accounts. Now, it handles all social media accounts as well. Facebook, Twitter, now everything, all of your social media as well as email accounts will be in one place, which frankly is quite cool. But sadly, the units that we had the old hub installed, so we could not test it out. There are a lot of security features present, like a BlackBerry Password Keeper app, which basically gives you functionality given by apps like 1Password and Dashlane. So you can store passwords, you can generate secure passwords. You can also store notes and photos in a secure locker, which is quite nifty. There's something called BlackBerry Privacy Shared, which I like quite liked. So basically, the phone reduces the screen area to only the point which you're looking at, which your finger is pointing at. So basically, the whole screen will go black, except just the circular point where your finger is pointing at, so that nobody else can see what you're reading, what you're watching. So this is, so you, I'll leave to your imagination what it will be used for, but it's quite a nifty feature. Obviously, BlackBerry's DTEG application suite, which, you know, by now has become quite famous, which allows you to manage app permissions, which gives you a notification if any application is trying to use the camera or is trying to use the microphone, is all also there. So there are a lot of these software-based features which aim to distinguish the phone and might, you know, offset the uninspiring hardware on hand. So we will have to evaluate and see how it stands up. As of now, it seems as if these phones will have their work cut out to, you know, compete with the likes of Nokia 7 Plus, OnePlus 6 and Zenfone 5Z, all of which are stellar smartphones and got 9 out of 10 from us at Gadget 360.
Yeah, so the Evolve X has been priced at 35,000 rupees, which puts it directly in competition with the Huawei Nova 3, the OnePlus 6, the Asus Zenfone 5Z. So the BlackBerry Evolve has been priced at 24,990 rupees, which puts it in competition with the Nokia 7 Plus, the Oppo F7 and the Vivo V9. So based on the hardware that I've seen so far, like whatever specifications I've seen here, I mean, assuming that this doesn't have some kind of a superpowered version of these chips and the RAM, etc., I don't exactly see these phones really standing up to the competition that they have.
Yeah, so in our limited time of use, I mean, take this with a pinch of salt, obviously, because, you know, we'll test them out fully, but in a limited time of use, the Evolve 10 was performed quite well, actually. I mean, because the Snapdragon 660 is quite a well optimized processor, the UI animations were smooth, all the apps, minimal app load times, everything ran smoothly. But we had quite a tough time with the Evolve. There were stutters abound, lags abound, and the phone actually froze up on us 3 or 4 times. I tried to send 8 Bluetooth files from the phone to my phone, and the phone crashed twice while doing that. So, I mean, I'm very apprehensive about the Snapdragon 450 processor in the Evolve.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll have to wait and see if BlackBerry has done some magical optimization and got extracted the maximum out of the processor, but I'm really apprehensive about the Evolve. While the Evolve 10, the Snapdragon 660 might be quite less than the 845, but the software features on hand might make up for the lack in power, because the 660 is not a slouch.
So, yeah, I mean, based on what you've told me, it does seem like, you know, BlackBerry is facing a bit of an uphill battle here. But yeah, I should also make it very clear that, as we mentioned earlier, take everything with a pinch of salt, because we spent only like half an hour, 45 minutes with the phone.
An hour.
Yeah, and it could also be that the unit we tested had some issues, and that the BlackBerry Evolve itself, you know, could work fine. So whenever we have a detailed review published, go by that for any like performance related queries you may have. But as of now, whatever we said, it's based on like limited time spent with the phone. So yeah, don't entirely take it as like judgment on the phone or something. So is there anything else you want to mention?
One thing I would like to add is that both phones feature a 16 megapixel front camera, and both have a dual camera setup at the rear, but it's kind of different in both. The Evolve 10 has a 12 megapixel sensor paired to a 13 megapixel sensor, and the Evolve has two 13 megapixel sensors, but one is RGB and one is monochrome. Now, obviously, we cannot say anything about the camera with just 1 hour of use, but we are quite excited to see if the Evolve and Evolve 10 can change the perception that BlackBerry phones have, that their cameras are not very good. And BlackBerry was quite bullish about the fact that we have worked hard on the cameras of these phones, especially the Evolve X. So let's see how that.
Yeah, so, you know, everything sort of up in the air at the moment. Hopefully things work out just fine, because I'm always, you know, all up for like new phones coming in and sort of upsetting the traditional heavyweights or the ones that have, say, dominated any segment. You know, it's something that I'm looking forward to. So I think that's about all we have for this episode of Orbital, and we will see you with another episode next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. And you can also check out this podcast on Google Podcasts app on your Android phone and Apple Podcasts on your iPhone. Please do subscribe to us if you use any of those apps, or if you have an Android phone or an iPhone, you know. And finally, if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, do write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com. Thank you so much for listening.